The Bible says, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Then it turns around another place and it tells us that perfect love casts out all fear. And at the outset, without any understanding of what these verses are really saying, you might almost think they contradict. So that's the question. How do these two ideas fit together to complete one whole idea? The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and perfect love casts out all fear. And I like verses that on the outset seem to be saying opposite things, because very often lying between them is an amazing sermon. And I will attempt to bring to you some of those ideas this morning. As human beings, we don't like fear. We want to get rid of fear at all costs. Anything but fear. But let us be very careful in this matter. I guess with that, let me start with prayer. Father, I just thank you once again for this time we can all be here. And I pray that you will put words in my mouth and help me to speak clearly. Amen. So the first statement that I'm going to make that ties these two together is godly fear turns into love. Godly fear turns into love. Godly fear, in a lot of cases, it's the foundation for love. But not all fear is godly fear. And that's where we're going to start. Talking about multiple different kinds of fear and how it affects you in your life. If we go way back into the book of Judges. Now I'm going to be turning around a lot of different passages this morning. You don't have to follow me to all of them. Judges 6:10. And I said unto you, I am the Lord your God. Fear not the gods of the Amorites, in whose land ye dwell, but ye have not obeyed my voice. In 2 Kings 17, reading a number of verses, starting in verse 35. Actually, I'm going to read verse 34. Verse 34. Unto this day they do after the former manners. They fear not the Lord, neither do they after their statutes, or after their ordinances, or after the law and commandment, which the Lord commanded the children of Jacob, whom he named Israel, with whom the Lord had made a covenant and charged them, saying, ye shall not fear other gods, nor bow yourselves to them, nor serve them, nor sacrifice to them. But the Lord who brought you up out of the land of Egypt with great power and a stretched out arm, him shall ye fear, and him shall ye worship, and to him shall ye do sacrifice. And the statutes and the ordinances and the law and the commandments which he wrote for you, ye shall observe to do forevermore, and ye shall not fear other gods. And the covenant that I have made with you, ye shall not forget, neither shall ye fear other gods. But the Lord your God, ye shall fear, and he shall deliver you out of the hand of all your enemies. The first kind of fear that I'm going to deal with is the fear of spirits. And that's exactly what we have here, the fear of other gods. And we're told very plainly, don't fear them. But I want to, on this point, I'm going to bring in a little balance. Because 1 Peter 5:8 tells us, be sober, be vigilant. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. We're told very plainly not to fear other gods. We're told that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yet, you in Jude, reading two verses, verses 8 and 9. And the interesting thing about the book of Jude is the book of Jude is written as a test for false prophets. That is one of the main purposes of the book of Jude. In verse 3, he thought it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. Here Jude is seeing the faith being corrupted by false doctrines and by false prophets. And that's what the book of Jude is answering. And look at this test that he gives us in verses 8 and 9 as to what a false prophet is. He says, likewise also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, the Lord rebuke thee. We're told not to fear other gods. We're told that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. Yet we are strictly commanded to be sober and vigilant in regard to the devil. And we're also told that the people who bring railing accusations against the devil speak lightly of him. I've heard of preachers saying, I'm going to stomp on the devil, and making jokes about that sort of thing. That's a test of a false prophet. The people that speak lightly of the devil. So be careful in this matter. Let us not fear the devil, but let us have a proper respect for him because of his power and his strength. He is so much far above us in understanding, in knowledge, and ability and strength. We dare not mock him. But yet, we don't have to fear, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And on that foundation, we don't fear the devil. There are two main categories of fear that I want to deal with today. There is fear that is caused by faith, and there is fear that is caused by unbelief. The fear of spirits, the fear of man, the fear of things and happenings, the fear of light, are all fears that are caused by unbelief. Whereas the fear of God that the Bible tells us is such a wonderful thing is caused by faith. And these two things can sometimes, in certain circumstances, even be confused. The fear of man. Jesus tells us in Luke 12, verses 4 and 5, he says something to the effect, don't fear man that can kill the body and has no more than he can do. Fear God, who has the ability that after he has killed the body to throw you into hell. Him shall ye fear. Why do we fear man? God comes to a number of the prophets. I know both Ezekiel and Jeremiah in specific. And he says to them, be not afraid of them. Speaking of the people that he was going to have to prophesy to. In one place he says, be not afraid of their faces. Be not afraid of them. Don't be afraid of the looks these people give to you when you preach to them. Be not afraid of man. And in Galatians 1:10, Paul asks the rhetorical question, if I still pleased men, should I be the servant of Christ? Or I should not be the servant of Christ. If I still pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. Fearing man is a dangerous thing. A man only has so much fear. The more you fear God, the less you will fear other things. The more you fear other things, the less you will fear God. It's important for us to be careful in this matter. Jeremiah 10, verse 2. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. I've touched very briefly on fearing the spirits, the fear of man. But if I can keep my thoughts straight, I'm going to take a little more time on the fear of things and happenings. Because I think it's probably a little more relevant to a lot of the things that people see and hear in everyday life around here. Be not dismayed at the signs of heaven. You look up at heaven and you see the stars and they're doing things you haven't seen before and you fear what... I don't know what the heathen feared about it. God looks at us and He says, don't be afraid of them. The Bible doesn't have a whole lot of verses on the subject of fearing random things. If you want to find verses about fearing the spirits, you can find them on every page. If you want to find verses about fearing man, you can find them on every page. But when you're talking about things, you're talking about fearing what the stars are doing and what this is happening, there isn't a whole lot of verses. Because it's one of those things that needs to be dealt with just with plain old common sense. We don't need as many verses to deal with it. Some people just fear that they're going to die of cancer. Some people just fear that there's going to be food shortages and they stock up food. And they just spend their life building up these warehouses of stuff. And they fear the economy is going to crash and they worry and they stress about all kinds of random things. They fear every time they get on the news and they hear the sound of a possible war happening in the Middle East. They fear getting bad health. Some people fear staying single, and then some people fear getting married. Some people fear to go to bed at night and fall asleep, and then they fear to get up in the morning. They just fear. It doesn't matter what it is, people fear. And I believe that this verse in Jeremiah 10:2 applies to a lot of these things. Fear not the signs of the heaven. It says, learn not the way of the heathen, neither be dismayed at the signs of the heaven. For the heathen are dismayed at them. And I think that these basic everyday things of life are things that we as Christians ought to be above. We ought not to fear these random things that are happening. Because this world isn't our home for one reason. If it's the sound of war, or who knows what. You know what's important? For us to eat healthy and be careful about our health. Be careful lest we bring a disease upon ourselves, cancer or some other thing. But some people are just living in fear. And I'm going to stand here and tell you today that the fear of eating unhealthy food that a lot of people have is going to be more detrimental to their health than eating it would be. Because just the stress that it brings on your life. To worry so much. And we need to settle down and we need to be careful. But we need to just give it all up. Dying of cancer? You need to be ready to die. It's pretty easy. You're either going to die of cancer or you're not. Don't worry about it. Anyway. David says something about this in Psalm 27. He says, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me, to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should camp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. And it's easy for us to look at this and say, you know, he was a king over the nation of Israel, so he wasn't going to fear war because he knew that God was going to help him conquer. Forget all that. Let's stop a moment. Do you get on the news, turn on your computer, and hear stories of wars happening in the Middle East, and does that make you fear? Let's be realistic, and let's take this verse at face value. Forgetting all the other things, though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. In this will I be confident. The sound of war, the rumors of wars coming around, shouldn't cause us to fear. Another category of fear that I want to look at is the fear of judgment. James 2:19 tells us, you believe in God? Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. The devils also believe and tremble. So, Ezra, what is this fear you're preaching then? If the devils can fear so much they tremble, and they're still not profiting by it, what fear are you talking about? Well, the devils tremble, but they don't obey. That's the fear that I'm talking about. The fear that we as Christians have, there is no reason for us to tremble if we're obeying. The reason they tremble is because they're not obeying. Little illustration. Some children, you tell them, do such and thus. Totally ignore their parents. But when their parents say, do such and thus, or I will get a spoon, they're immediately on it. Why? They fear the judgment, but they don't fear their parents. They fear judgment, but not their parents. And we, as Christians, need to fear God, not just the judgment. Many Christians, professing Christians, I should say, read the Bible, they see the commands, and they don't really worry about it. They don't obey unless there is a direct consequence that they can't figure out a loophole for. The commands of Christ, the commands all throughout the New Testament. There are consequences for disobeying them, whether there is one connected in the next verse or not. And we ought to just understand that and fear God. Do what He says. If you remember Esau, he was extremely sorry that he lost the blessing. But he was not sorry for who he was. Remember Saul? He was sorry that he lost the kingdom, but he was not sorry for what he did. But David, on the other hand, who in a lot of ways his sin was much worse, he was sorry for who he was and what he did. Psalm 51, before the beginning of the psalm, it tells us a little bit about when this psalm was written. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, when Nathan the prophet came unto him after he had gone in to Bathsheba. What does David write? He says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions. and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only, have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. But in verse 4 again, against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Totally different attitude. A man that feared God, not just the consequences. The fear of God. After all these false fears that are grounded on nothingness, grounded on unbelief, the fear of judgment is just a superficial belief. Fear of random things and happenings is just a lack of trust. Fear of man is just a lack of faith. Fear of spirits is also just, again, a lack of faith. But the fear of God is grounded itself on faith. Job 28:28. And unto man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Now I want to read a little story here from 2 Chronicles chapter 19. Starting in verse 1. And Jehoshaphat the king of Judah returned to his house in peace to Jerusalem. And Jehu the son of Hanani the seer went out to meet him and said to King Jehoshaphat, shouldest thou help the ungodly and love them that hate the Lord? Therefore is wrath upon thee from before the Lord. Nevertheless, there are good things found in thee, in that thou hast taken away the groves out of the land and hast prepared thine heart to seek God. And Jehoshaphat dwelt at Jerusalem, and he went out again through the people from Beersheba to Mount Ephraim and brought them back unto the Lord God of their fathers. And he set judges in the land throughout all the fenced cities of Judah, city by city, and said to the judges, take heed what ye do, for ye judge not for man, but for the Lord, who is with you in the judgment. Wherefore, now, let the fear of the Lord be upon you. Take heed and do it, for there is no iniquity with the Lord our God, nor respect of persons, nor taking of gifts. Moreover, in Jerusalem did Jehoshaphat set the Levites and the priests and the chief of the fathers of Israel for the judgment of the Lord and for the controversies when they returned to Jerusalem. And he charged them, saying, thus shall ye do in the fear of the Lord, faithfully and with a perfect heart. And what cause soever shall come to you of your brethren that dwell in their cities between blood and blood, between law and commandment, statutes and judgments, ye shall even warn them that they trespass not against the Lord, and so wrath come upon you and upon your brethren. This do, and ye shall not trespass. So this, after Jehoshaphat went and helped Ahab in battle, the prophet comes to Jehoshaphat and says, you know, should you be helping the ungodly? But then he goes on to say, nevertheless, there are good things found in you. And these are those good things. He set up judges in Israel and commanded them, fear the Lord. He set up the Levites in Jerusalem and he commanded them, fear the Lord. Fear the Lord. We read in Psalm 34, verse 10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Seek peace and pursue it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. A good understanding have all they that do His commandments. His praise endureth forever. Jeremiah 32:40 says, I will put my fear in their hearts, that they shall not depart from me. Proverbs has a whole lot of things on the fear of the Lord. Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Proverbs 1:29, for they that hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the froward mouth do I hate. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and the knowledge of the holy is understanding. Proverbs 10:27, the fear of the Lord prolongeth days, but the years of the wicked shall be shortened. Proverbs 14:26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence, and His children shall have a place of refuge. Proverbs 14:27, the fear of the Lord is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. 15:16, better is little with the fear of the Lord than great treasure and trouble therewith. 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. 16:6, by mercy and truth iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Lord men depart from evil. Proverbs 19:23, the fear of the Lord tendeth to life, and he that hath it shall abide satisfied. He shall not be visited with evil. Proverbs 22:4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. Proverbs 23:17, let not thine heart be envious of sinners, but be thou in the fear of the Lord all the day long. I don't think it even needs any expounding really to explain what the fear of the Lord is after all those verses. It tells us very plainly. But just to draw a little contrast once again, the devils fear and tremble. The fear of the Lord that we're commanded to have is a fear and obey. Now, all the way through this, talking about fear, that's almost been my introduction to get me to the one point that I really wanted to make this morning. First John 4:16 through 19. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. We are to seek for love. If you have fear, if you have one of the previous kinds of fear, the fear of spirits, the fear of man, the fear of things and happenings, the fear of judgment, that fear needs to be replaced by a fear of God. If you have a fear of God, that fear needs to grow into love. I do not believe that perfect love is the only thing that casts out fear. Perfect love is the only godly thing that casts out fear. We need to seek for love and let nothing else remove our fear. People have a false idea of grace. They believe God's a merciful God. He'd never send me to hell. So they don't fear God, not because they have perfect love, but because they have a false grace. People don't fear God because they have false love and many other false doctrines that people have. End up washing out their fear. Washing it away. And we must be careful in this matter. It's easy for people to assume that the Christian, or I should say, it could be easy for people to assume that the Christian who doesn't fear God therefore has perfect love. But let us not assume that. Many a times, the person that doesn't fear God doesn't have any love at all. They have false love and false grace and false doctrines. It's frequently, many a times I should say, the more holy a man is, the more he ends up talking about God's holiness and God's righteousness and the judgment. And it's frequently people that are walking the fence. They like to talk about God's grace. Of course, not always, but I've seen this numerous times. People just love to talk about the grace of God because they're walking the fence. They don't want to hear of judgment because that judgment would apply to them. And so here we see two things. We have fear and we have love. These two things are grounded on the very same foundation. A man has a foundation of faith in God and in the Bible, in the commands and in the promises. And that faith causes fear. But as that faith grows into obedience, it turns into love. And then as a Christian, when you as a Christian sin, this love can immediately snap into fear. And that's not a bad thing, that is a good thing. But through repentance, that fear can snap back into love because it is the same foundation. These things are grounded on the same, the very same foundation of faith, causes these two emotions. And these two emotions that we feel answer to the two main attributes of God. Light and love. God is holy and God is love. God is light and God is love. But then Romans 2:4 says something interesting. It tells us that it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance. A tyrant dictator can cause the people under him to fear him. But that's as far as it goes. God, being a holy and just God, can cause us to fear him. And then his goodness causes us to repent and follow him and love him. So in this, if you find a man who is living a lukewarm life, you may want to say about him, that man just needs to learn to love God. If only he would love God, then the love of Christ would constrain him to live a more devoted life. And that's true But let us not put the cart before the horse. What you first need is you need to fear God. Fear. And let that fear turn into love. It's excusable if a child is afraid of the dark. It's proper when a man is afraid of God. But what can we do with the man who is afraid of light? Afraid? Don't cast out all fear as a bad thing. Many times fear is a good thing. Afraid of the spirits? You need faith. Afraid of man? You need faith. Afraid of things and happenings? You need trust. You know, there are two answers to worry. One is confidence that you can fix all your problems. Two is confidence that God is in control of all your problems. One is God's answer. The other is the devil's answer. One is the world's answer. The other is the church's answer. One works. And the other doesn't. So again, for all those of you who are afraid of random things that are happening and you're worrying and you're stressing about this and about the other thing, as long as there is a possibility that you think you might be able to change your situation, you're going to try. And you're going to worry about it. The two answers to worry lie on the two extremes. If you're somewhere in the middle where you think you might be able to fix your problem, but you're not sure if you can, that's where you worry. But when you're absolute confident that you can't fix the problem, there's nothing else to worry about. And when you're absolutely confident that your problem will be fixed, there's nothing else to worry about. So it lies on the two extremes. So on this, I tell you, turn it over. Turn it over to God. Can you make one hair black and another white? Can you grow a foot taller? Why are you so worried then? That's what Jesus says. He says, because again, remember, the answer to worry is on either one of the two extremes. You don't worry about something that you have zero control over. And that's usually the side that we have to get on to stop worrying, is to realize, I can't control it anyway. So that was a random thought. But let us fear God. Let me close with prayer. Father, I just thank you so much for all your blessings to us, and I pray that you would take all these verses and drive them deep into our hearts. And Father, let our lives be molded and conformed more into Christ, more into His likeness. Amen. And let's dismiss.